Welcome to Choate's Litigation Updates, a podcast series hosted by our trial attorneys covering current litigation strategic issues in life sciences, financial services, healthcare, consumer products, and private equity.
Hi, I'm Christine Savage, a partner at the law firm of Choate Holland Stewart in Boston, and I have the privilege today of speaking with Jim Vint, a managing director at Secretariat. Secretariat is an international consulting firm that, among other things, provides forensic investigative services to a wide range of organizations, including healthcare, life sciences, and financial services firms. Both Choate and Secretariat have been spending an increasing amount of time advising clients on whether or how to continue to use ad tech and web tools on their websites at a time when their use is coming under scrutiny from multiple sources, including the Federal Trade Commission, Department of Health and Human Services, plaintiffs' class action firms, Congress, and the White House, to name just a few. Today, we want to spend a few minutes on Ad Tech 101. What is the technology and the terminology, and what is the technology used for? In future sessions, we'll talk about legal and regulatory risks associated with the use of ad tech and steps that businesses can take and should be taking now to manage those risks. Jim, let's start off with a primer on what you mean when you talk about ad tech or web tools with clients.
Thanks, Christine. It's nice to speak with you today. Typically, we hear a number of different terms used to describe these technologies. We've heard them called pixels, tags, web bugs, beacons, and trackers, among other things. They're essentially snippets of code placed on the website by the owner of that website or a third party. They can be deployed on a page or fire as a user interacts with forms, clicks buttons, or takes other actions across that site. These tools can also be deployed on mobile applications. And if you think about the resolution in TVs or monitors, they're all made up of pixels. So the code snippet represents one of those pixels that makes up that full resolution. So they're very small kind of grains of sand on the website.
So Jim, speaking generally, how do these snippets of code operate? Understanding that each of them may work a little bit differently on a website.
So simply put, they load or fire as a user navigates the web and lands on a page containing one or more of these web tools. When the tool fires, certain information may be transmitted from that website and or the user's browser, browsers being Google, Safari, and Bing, to name a few, to the owner of that web tool technology, which is essentially and quite often a third party.
So does this mean that everyone using a website ends up having their data sent to third parties? And can you talk a little bit about whether these tools are the same thing as cookies? In other words, if I reject cookies when I go onto a website, do I not need to worry about ad tech?
So maybe we can break that down a little bit. To answer the first part of that question, no users interact with websites. So the answer is no. Users interact with websites differently, and they have a different relationship with the internet. And I'll come back to that in a minute and what that means. For a basic example, someone who goes to a website to get a phone number versus someone who leverages the website for all it has to offer will have different experiences in what, if any, of their data will be transferred to any of those third parties. And touching on the user's relationship with the internet, it's probably a good time to introduce the topic of cookies. Cookies are small files that are placed on a user's browser, really to help with the user experience, but can also play a part in some of these third-party transmissions. So cookies by nature typically help remember things like your settings, passwords, logon credentials, and are meant to help make the internet easier to use. So how do these cookies play a part? In general, based on how a user interacts with the internet as a whole, certain activity, for example, if you log into Facebook, Facebook will have certain cookie values that are deployed on their browser. Non-Facebook users will not have that. And as a user lands on a website with a Facebook pixel, by way of example, that cookie value may be transmitted back to Facebook during that navigation path. Users do have a few things at their disposal to prevent these transmissions. They're able to clear cookies. They can use a separate browser for social media or limit their use of social media to the app. And there are browsers which disable certain functionalities of these tools. In general, rejecting cookies may prevent certain of these ad tech from firing. It kind of depends on the configuration of your cookie tracking tools and how it's implemented.
Well, thanks. There's obviously a lot in there. The general takeaway is that sounds somewhat reassuring and maybe a little bit more innocuous than what we're hearing in lawsuits and news stories all over the place about how third parties may be using ad tech to do other things. Could you maybe speak to some of the types of third parties that are getting this information? Sort of who are they and what type of information might they be getting?
Sure. And I think the baseline of this is there's really nothing nefarious about these tools. It's a good point to raise in terms of the tools being innocuous. There are a number of recipients that may receive data about certain things like website performance, certain outside advertising tools or advertising agencies and marketing agencies may receive this information, social media companies to the same regard, really to look for conversions of specific advertisements. And there could be third-party advertising marketplace firms that basically match advertisements to audiences. And then obviously there are website performance software companies, call tracking firms, and probably others that typically receive information around how a user is interacting with the website when these tools fire.
Well, thanks. Obviously, a lot of different people, maybe with different motivations in terms of how the technology is used.
Yeah, I mean, some companies, certainly provide analytics back to the websites about their user experiences, what parts of a website are attracting a user more than others in terms of how you're promoting your message or your mission. They track how long people might be on a site, whether they're taking specific actions like converting, buying something, requesting more information, following up with purchases. Again, I just mentioned that as being part of this conversions tracker. A good example of that, by the way, is during COVID, hospitals in particular wanted to ensure that information about COVID symptoms, treatment locations, vaccines, and booster information was reaching the public. And so they wanted to make sure that their advertisements and directions to get to those pages of their websites were actually hitting the users that they were targeting. In terms of how that was being used more generally, those outside ad agencies, social media marketing companies, are really trying to help organizations understand if their advertising has the right level of efficacy, and they're actually getting the right levels of conversions based on the ads that they're placing on specific user feeds that they can then click through. And then obviously some have more advanced features like finding lookalike users or general populations that might be interested in the same thing. So given it's March Madness, if Ticketmaster were looking to distribute tickets or provide a promotion to buy tickets, they can start with people in the cities where games are happening, look across their user base for users with interest in college basketball, sports, championships, all done via an algorithm, of course, and then provide links or advertisements in that user's feed to Ticketmaster.
Well, I guess I should be expecting some basketball ads in my future then.
Exactly. So, Christine, kind of having run through all of this, I actually have a question for you. As an attorney for healthcare and life sciences firms in particular, why do you think ad tech risk should be on your client's priority list?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and one that we're actually going to tackle head on in our next podcast episode when we look in detail at who's looking at the deployment of ad tech and the information that is being shared with third parties and the types of headaches that they can cause for the types of businesses that we represent. Thanks again, Jim, for taking a few minutes to help our listeners better understand what ad tech is and why someone would use it. For those of you looking for a more in-depth discussion on these issues, we'll be joined by our colleagues for a one-hour webinar on April the 12th. You can sign up for it by using the link in the announcement for this podcast.
For more information, please visit www.choate.com. You can also listen to additional podcast episodes in the newsroom of our website and subscribe to them wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation